Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Back when I was in college, I used to work nights at my uncle's motel just outside of Baton Rouge. It was a pretty sweet gig for the most part. I was already a total night owl during the summers, so instead of staying home with my parents, getting on their nerves, and being bored stiff during the midnight hours, I got to watch movies, read comic books, order takeout, and get paid for the whole thing. I remember those times with a lot of nostalgia, to be honest, but every so often, I think about this one night where I happened across one of the creepiest things I'd ever seen. It might even be the creepiest thing I'd ever even heard of, too, mainly because of what it might have entailed and how many unanswered questions it left me with. It started with the motel's fire alarm going off. The fire alarm automatically alerted the fire department, so officially speaking, all I had to do was make sure all the guests evacuated properly. But then unofficially, with it being my uncle's only form of livelihood, and him being terrible at making his insurance payments, it was always an unwritten rule that whoever was on duty would have to try their darndest to put the fire out before the whole friggin' place burned down. So, that's what I did. Once I saw smoke billowing out of one of the rooms, I ran up there with my fire extinguisher, kicked in the door, and was relieved when I saw that the fire was basically a small one in the center of the room. I just let rip on that thing with my extinguisher, then within a couple of seconds, the fire was out and I'd saved the day.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Obviously, I didn't pay much attention to what else was going on in the room, and the fact that there was no one in it didn't faze me because I figured they evacuated like everyone else. My uncle had already been alerted of the fire, and he's been ringing the motel's phone like crazy, and boy did I feel like a hero telling him that I basically saved his entire income by putting the fire out before it could spread. He then asked me to check on the actual damage before the fire department showed, which was still going to be a while, hence why he'd always asked me to be Johnny on the spot with an extinguisher if there was ever a fire. So, I do as I'm told, heading back up to the room while reassuring the parking lot's congregation of guests that everything's going to be fine, and then I put the fire out. Only when I get back to the room do I realize that the fire had been set in one of the small metal trash cans that was in each person's room. Someone had obviously filled the thing with God knows what, placed it in the center of the room, then just set the thing on fire before bailing out of the room. Then right as I'm thinking, why would someone do that? I realized someone had arranged a bunch of stuff around the room. They were clothes, kid clothes, and interspersed among them were a bunch of what looked like kids' drawings. Then when I checked out what the drawings were of, I realized it wasn't just the fire department that should be on their way. It was the cops, too. The drawings were of kids in cages, or sad, crying kids with big, angry-looking grown-ups towering over them. Then another was of what seemed to be one kid crying over a dead kid while the grown-up figures laughed. Seriously, they were so horrific that despite the heat and smoke still circulating in the room, I felt a little chill go down my spine. I immediately went to call the cops, then checked who was booked into the room and more importantly if any kids were booked in there too. There was just one guy's name in there, Cameron Odell. So what was one lone guy doing with so many kids' clothes? The drawings were horrifying, but it wasn't out of the question that an adult could have been responsible for them. The clothes, though, that was a different story. Right after the fire department arrived and they were checking the room over to confirm it was safe for the other guests to head back to their rooms, I asked the group of guests in the parking lot if there was a Cameron Odell among them. No one spoke up or raised a hand, and no one by the name or any other name booked another room after everything died down, so I'm guessing whoever was calling themselves by that name had gotten out of there following the fire. The cops showed up a short while after the fire department did, and I showed them all the clothes and drawings I'd found, along with the booking under the Odell name. Officially, their investigation would involve looking for potential arson, but the cops told me that they'd be looking into the clothes and drawings too if they ever caught the guy who tried to set the room on fire. And that was pretty much the last I heard of it. For the first few weeks that followed, I kept asking my uncle if they'd caught the guy who'd set the room on fire. Each time the answer was the same, no. I tried telling him about the kids' clothes and the pictures, but all he seemed to care about was that the damage to the room was minimal. Besides, I was his hero, having put the fire out and all, so whenever the subject came up, it was all just backslaps and that's my boy kind of talk. It was really hard to get to any details. Like I said earlier, what I'm mostly left with here are unanswered questions and a lot of half-baked theories of what that guy was trying to do. But there's one in particular that really sits with me. If the guy had a bunch of kids locked up somewhere, if it was him that was trafficking children and he was trying to dispose of the evidence or something, he definitely went about it in a really dumb way. But then, what if he was one of the kids that had been abused, and he was trying to draw attention to it some way? What if he tried to get people to listen to him time and time again? Obviously, there's a lot to unpack here with that one, and it brings up way more questions than it answers, but I really don't know what else to make of such a creepy situation. I just feel like there's some deep, dark backstory to the whole thing, but for the time being, I don't know what that is. Maybe in the years to come, if the truth comes out, I'll find out just what a crucial incident the motel fire was. Or maybe not. Maybe it'll just remain a mystery. Just like so many other things in life. I apologize in advance for not being the best storyteller, but this is definitely a true story. It's also not my story as much as it is my mom's, who used to work at a motel in California back in the 80s. Anyways, one day a guy shows up to book a room, and I'm just going to refer to this guy as the guest, since I don't actually know his name. My mom got assigned to clean his room on the daily, but as time went by, she noticed that he always had the Do Not Disturb sign up on his room. So even like a week into his stay, she never once had a chance to clean his room. This didn't bother the cleaning staff too much, because the way my mom tells it, the guy was always super nice and friendly whenever he passed reception or bumped into any of the cleaning staff, always apologizing and telling them that he'd just clean up after himself. So if it saved them some work, they weren't exactly going to complain about it. Anyways, there came a point where the guy wasn't seen for a few days, and the Do Not Disturb sign wasn't on the door anymore, so everyone figured that he just checked out and they'd be able to clean the room again. So given that my mom had been assigned to the room like a month before, it came down to her to head over to clean it. As she got to the floor and unlocked the door to the room, a disturbing smell hit her. She couldn't figure out what it was, but she continued to survey the room, which, contrary to the guest's previous assurances, was disgustingly messy. Her words were that it looked like someone had thrown a party, even though everyone was pretty sure that no one else seemed to have ever gone into the room besides the guest. Anyways, my mom was still shocked by the smell, so she tried to track it down. Then as she followed the smell, she could tell it was coming from the hotel room closet. When she opened the closet, there was nothing but a wet-looking cardboard box on the ground, and my mom said the smell got way more intense, so she could tell it was coming from there. She said she had a strong suspicion that the guests had been using it to go to the bathroom in, so the last thing she wanted to do was look inside it. Instead, she puts on some gloves and covers up her mouth and nose, then picks the thing up to throw it into the trash. That's when she felt how heavy it was, like way heavier than if there was just some feces inside it or something. It was only when one of the other cleaning ladies smelled the same smell that they straight up said, "Somebody call the cops." Apparently, a few years before, the same cleaning lady had found a dead body in a room as someone had a heart attack with a do not disturb sign on the door, and it took almost 2 weeks before they finally went to investigate. She said it was like the exact same kind of rotting smell. Definitely not anything else from the human body, so they called the cops so they could come take a look at it. The cops showed up, cut open the box with everyone watching. Then the officer just looked up to his partner with this numb expression, saying, "Call the coroner. We're going to 419. Someone had to explain to my mom that the number was police code for dead body. Only it wasn't like a whole body in there. That much was obvious because the box was too small. It turned out to be just a decapitated head. I don't really know many more details than that. This is almost 40 years ago now, and I couldn't find any internet archive stuff before I wrote this up, but my mom said that there was talk of the head belonging to a call girl who had gone missing a few weeks before. They gave all the guy's info to the cops, but apparently that didn't help. The credit card was stolen, and the guy had used the name on that card. Imagine being that person whose credit card got stolen, though. One day you think you've lost it or something, and then the next, the cops show up accusing you of having murdered a girl. Mom stayed working at the motel for maybe like a year afterward, and she only quit when she met my dad and moved into his place up in Vallejo. That story always kept me from ever wanting to work in a hotel or motel or anything like that, and no matter how desperate for money I get, I think I'd have to be very, very desperate to work anywhere you might see the darker side of human nature.
My husband and I had to drive 17 hours last week to North Carolina for a wedding.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It was an exhausting week, and we basically spent the entire time rushing from one family gathering to another. We were staying in a motel for the time we were there. We had already been at this motel for a few days by the time the day of the actual wedding rolled around. The day of the wedding was hectic. We were rushing around trying to get ready to leave for the venue. My husband got ready before me so he could do some last-minute things before we had to leave. That left me alone in our motel room to get ready before he returned. It was brutally hot outside, and I decided to do my hair and makeup in just my underwear, so I wouldn't be sweating in my nice dress the whole time. The way this motel was laid out, the sink and mirror were in the general open area of the room, with the toilet and shower in another room, so anyone walking by our room window could see me standing at the mirror. However, I did have the curtains closed, but these curtains were a little bit sheer, so you could technically see the shadow of someone walking by on the outside, or could maybe see the silhouette of me inside the room. I was curling my hair in the mirror when I noticed the silhouette of a man walking by my room window. As he's passing my window, I see him stop and start trying to look into my window. At first I thought it was my husband trying to see if I was ready, so I paid no attention to it. But the longer the guy stood there, bobbing his head around trying to get a better look through the curtains, I began to realize it was not my husband, because obviously, why wouldn't he just come in? Now I'm starting to get a little freaked out. Before I could do anything though, I watch as this guy starts to go for my room door. My utter shock and horror came when he actually was able to open the door and walked inside. Before my husband left, he forgot to pull the door shut all the way till it clicked into its lock. He was very upset at himself when I told him this later. So now I am face to face with this man, who's at least 6 feet tall, and standing in my room. I thought to myself, this is it, he's going to attack you. That's a very scary realization to have. I also thought to myself, you're going to have to burn his eye sockets out with this curling iron if you want to survive. For a few seconds, probably only a second or two, but it felt a lot longer, he just stood there staring at me like I was a piece of meat and he was starving, ready to pounce on me like prey. He then began to smile the most evil-looking, toothy grin I've ever seen, and started mumbling something under his breath. I couldn't make out what he was saying completely, but I did make out the words, "Pretty lady," and "come here." I don't know if it was the fight or flight response, but I suddenly got pissed, and I charged towards him, ready to strike him with my hot curling iron. I screamed as loud as I could. It must have startled him because he jumped back out onto the balcony of the motel. I saw this as my chance, and I ran for the door. I luckily was able to get to the door and slam it shut right before he was about to make his second attempt at entering inside. I immediately collapsed on the floor sobbing. I literally was too scared to move from that spot until my husband came back about 15 minutes later. I told him the whole thing and he was freaked out. He initially wanted to find the guys, but I refused to let him leave my side. He must have apologized 1,000 times during the rest of our trip for not making sure that the door was locked before leaving. But I told him that the day and that whole trip was so rushed I could see how it happened. We went to the motel management and told them the whole story. The police were obviously called and I gave them a description of the guy so they could see if it was someone who was staying in the motel. After going around to the few motel occupants, they said no one matched his description and concluded he wasn't staying there. Obviously, we were late to the wedding that day, and the whole experience just ruined what should have been a happy time. We planned on staying another day before our long drive home, but we both just wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. We skipped most of the reception, went back to the motel, packed up and left. I am usually always so vigilant with locking my doors, especially when I'm home alone. Just goes to show you, all it takes is that one time you forget to check your locks, and that certain unwanted guest is inviting themselves in. I was about 10, possibly 11, when my mom found a job working as a live-in manager to a quaint little motel at the end of my town. She took the job, we packed up and left my childhood home. When we first moved in, it was a disaster. Holes everywhere, certain parts of the house smelled horrible. We later learned this was because the old manager, Steve, was a druggie, and his wife was making and dealing meth out of there. Couple months into living there, we had sort of fixed the place up and made it livable. At this point, my mom was working full-time at the desk. We had mostly stayed towards the back of the house because of the odd setup. The way the front desk where you check in is laid out was basically in our living room. It was a tiny, cramped room with just the desk on one side and a door on the other, which led to our living room. A lot, and I mean a lot of people decided to just open that door whenever they pleased, and often got a view of whatever video game my brother and I were playing. This, as a kid, already freaked me out, and because of the motel's past, many meth heads came by looking for Steve and would walk right in when they didn't believe my mom when she said they didn't work and live there any longer. One time, during summer break a year or two after we moved in, I decided to stay up all night and play video games. I made a little nest in the living room and made myself comfy. It was around 1 in the morning after hours of Skyrim when I started to hear weird noises. Usually, if my mom knew a regular would be late, she would leave a key in an envelope for them. Which, looking back, doesn't seem smart at all. I heard talking, it sounded like two men speaking a different language. I figured that's what they were doing and would leave in a second, but they never did. The talking continued for 10 minutes before I started to hear them pull on the door. First it was gentle, as if they were testing it. As they continued, it seemed to get more frantic and I could almost hear grunting. Soon it was full on banging on the door. I was confident my parents would hear it, but their room was all the way in the back of the house, which was about 3 hallways down, so after a minute I figured I was screwed and probably going to die. I was a super paranoid kid. The banging stopped, and after a few seconds, I started to hear tapping at the window behind the desk in the house. I saw clearly a head from behind the curtain. The windows were high up, and he looked to be stretching up to get it. He started to yank on the window, trying to break it open. While he was doing this, I saw movement at the screen door in the kitchen. I was petrified. I'm guessing the guy who was at the desk door had now circled around to the screen door while his buddy was prying at the window. He jiggled the doorknob back and forth, after a second resuming what he was doing earlier, and now banging on that door full force. For some reason, through my fear, I decided to try and be a ninja, to up my sneak level, of course, and army crawled into the little office part connected to the desk.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There was a key drop-off where people could just shove their keys into when they checked out. That was basically just a hole in the wall. I popped up, all while they were still banging on the door, and grabbed a pencil to lift up the flap. I don't know what I expected to see. They were clearly at the side of the house, but I just had a horrible feeling, like I was being surrounded. Turns out I was right. When I lifted it, I saw two more men standing at the door, hands in their pockets. I immediately closed it and almost cried. During this, I failed to notice the hallway light turn on and my parents emerged, looking very distraught. As soon as my dad turned on the kitchen light and shouted, all the noise stopped and the guys took off running. I could hear one of them shout something and then nothing, just complete silence. After I told my parents what happened the best I could through hysterics, they called the police. The police showed about an hour later and took the report. It didn't seem like this happened to anyone else in the town, but they seemed to think it was some Mexican workers who came up for the hops farms and maybe didn't understand we were closed. I don't know, it seems like they were just kind of race-blaming, but I never really got an explanation of that night. All I know was that they didn't seem friendly, and I don't know what they would have done if they got in. In the summer of 2004, I was on my first break from college. I had just completed my freshman year, and I was missing being away from my new college friends. One Saturday night in July, my college friend Julianne, from out of town, was having a birthday party. She wanted to invite lots of friends to a motel room for drinking and hanging out. I was kind of a late bloomer and really just started driving my freshman year of college. Back then I was naive and apparently had a look of friendliness and helplessness, as I always tended to have strangers trying to talk to me or come to my aid when I really didn't need anything. I was excited to be going to this motel room party. I arrived in the late evening. It was at a Motel 6 outside of downtown, near an area that used to be a shopping mall, but had just started its descent as a new mall was being put in on the other side of town. I'm thinking she chose that motel due to the price, because it wasn't near our college or near anything that you'd want to be near, unless she planned on doing some shopping the next day. There weren't that many cars at the motel. I got out and went up to the second floor, where her room was located at the corner, near the entrance to the parking lot from the frontage road. There weren't many people in the room, and it was a typical motel room with two queen-sized beds, a bathroom, and a TV. I remember taking a beer and having a few sips. I was feeling slightly uncomfortable. That was mostly because the usual college pals weren't there, and we weren't doing our usual thing. Normally, my boyfriend and his roommate would be hanging out and we'd watch a weird movie or have an interesting conversation. This time it was just people talking and drinking. Kind of boring for my tastes. Plus, I'm a pretty major introvert. I was kind of looking for an out, and when there was a lull in conversation, I told Julianne and her boyfriend John that I had to go. They walked me to the door, and we said a few goodbyes while we stood on the balcony overlooking the parking lot. While we were talking, a taxi cab pulled up to the motel, right under the balcony where we were standing. I looked down as a man got out of the back of the cab. The alarming thing was that as soon as he got out, he stood and looked straight up at me, staring. He had no expression on his face, nor did he make a move to go where he was headed or even to pay the cab driver. The cab took off and he just stood there, staring at me. He began to smile in a very creepy way, like he knew he was scaring me and he enjoyed it. But at the same time, it was like there was no one home in his eyes. He looked at me as if I was the only one there, and as if he expected me. Like in some parallel universe he was supposed to find me. Like that was his whole night's purpose. It was unnerving, but then he walked off. We kind of joked about it and then I went down to get into my car. I unlocked my door, put my purse in the passenger seat, and just as I did that, a car pulled up right behind my car as if to block my exit. I looked over, and it was that man who got out of the cab. He apparently had a car, and as soon as he left from staring at me, he got in and followed me to where my car was. He just parked there and was staring at me with the same creepy smile on his face, but with no other indication of any self-awareness. The only thing I could think to do was to run back up to the party. Unfortunately, I left my purse in the passenger seat and left my door unlocked because I was so freaked out that I just wanted to get as far away from this man as possible. I knocked on the door and told my friend and her boyfriend. John came out to the balcony with me and the car was still there. We called the hotel lobby and asked for them to send the security guard to escort me to my car. The guard came by, an overweight fellow who looked really unhappy to be there. He just knocked on the motel door, and he didn't even walk me down. He barely even said anything. He just stood on the balcony looking down. I got tired of the situation, and since the creeper's car was gone, I decided to just race down and get in my car and leave. John walked me to my car, though, since the security guard was being a weirdo. I got in, started it, and zoomed out of there as fast as I could before that man showed up again. I did pause in my car to make sure John got back to the room safely before taking off on the frontage road, but my doors were locked and I was ready for imminent exit. This might not seem like much, but the way the man just got out of the cab and looked up at me really freaked me out. It's as if he was coming to the hotel just for me. He wouldn't have been able to see me from his seated position in the cab, which made it even weirder when the first thing he did was turn his head up to me and stare. He didn't seem to have a room, and I wondered afterwards, if he had a car, why he needed a cab at all. My purse was still in my car with nothing removed from it, so I don't think he was there to rob me. That's what's really scary. That and the fact that he acted like my friends weren't even there. For weeks after, I was shaken by what could have happened if I didn't leave my blocked-in car as soon as possible, and I began to imagine scenarios where he came up to the window. The only imagined scenario that made me feel any safer was if I acted insane. I imagined getting out a knife, but that didn't help. Not until I imagined laughing manically or barking did I feel like he may have backed off. To this day, I carry a knife in my car just in case, but I feel like that may not be the best protection.
For some context, my family and I did not have a happy home life. We often would move around every year, if not several times a year. My stepdad had a severe drinking problem, and my mom had varying levels of drug issues. This story takes place after we moved from North Carolina to Winslow, Arizona. I was just about 8 or 9 years old at the time. I never truly understood why we moved out that way. My mom said it was to visit her stepfather, whom we ended up living with for a few months, before leaving due to the violence. We're a family of 5, and we eventually moved in and out of motel rooms for the remainder of our time in Arizona. My parents had a rule that we kids, my 2 brothers and myself, could not spend the day in the motel room. This rule had no exclusions, despite Arizona being over 100 degrees outside most days. We would even have to eat our meals outside, and had limited bathroom breaks. My brothers and I would often occupy our time, seeing if the soda machines were left unlocked again, or just baking in the sun until we were permitted to go to bed. If we were lucky, sometimes another kid would be living in the motel, and we would try to get them to play with us. One of the longer staying residents was a girl named Daisy, somewhere around my age. She was kind of a brat, but I was grateful for her company. I would often knock on her room door and ask her father if she can come out to play. On the day of the story, my brothers and stepfather were gone for some reason or another. This meant I was left alone outside. I eventually decided to try and get Daisy to come play again, and started making my way across the dry empty parking lot to the room she shared with her father. As I was making my way over, I saw the window curtains move suddenly, as if someone were watching me approach. I paused and waited, just before stepping into the sidewalk right outside of Daisy's room, assuming it was her making her way outside to meet me. Just as I started to second guess what I had witnessed, Daisy's door swung open, and no one stepped out. Nervously, I called out Daisy's name. Someone did come out, but not Daisy. There in the doorway, and quickly approaching me, was a tall, straggly woman with messy and matted blonde hair. Her eyes were blue, which I had only noticed because of how intensely she stared. Her eyes were impossibly wide. Her fast approach scared me, and just as I turned and ran, I felt the woman's tight grip around my waist. I froze, shocked that a stranger would just grab onto me. As our eyes met again, she smiled with a toothy grin and said, "I know you. I know who you are. You're a star. I know you. I know your destiny. You are star. You are destiny. I can show you." She would repeat the same phrase, never seeming to blink, as she began pulling me towards the room she came out of. I remember pulling and trying to yank my arm away from her, but her grip was too tight. I began to panic, not knowing how to make her let go. I started to scream at her, hoping to startle her, but she kept pulling me closer to her room. She suddenly tripped and fell, letting me go. I took the opportunity to try and get away from her, but she recovered quicker than I expected, and this time, she grabbed onto my ankle. Her new hold on me caused me to fall to my stomach. More desperate than ever, I began to scream and flail, trying to cause her to let go of me again, but she just took hold of my other ankle. Realizing I couldn't overpower her, I looked towards my family's room. I was so scared and I couldn't think clearly, and just cried for my mother, hoping she'd hear me from inside the motel room. She never did. I just remember calling out to her, begging her to hear me, to help me. I suddenly felt the sidewalk scraping the skin of my stomach, causing me to realize how much further I was dragged from my motel room. I felt such despair and hopelessness. I began to mentally shut down and give up. Out of nowhere, I heard a man's voice yell out behind me.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
The woman's grip loosened just then, allowing me to kick her, knocking her back, and finally setting me free. I flipped onto my back and sat up, seeing Daisy's father emerge from the same room the woman came out of. He quickly made his way, trying to comfort me and make sure I was okay. I was so confused and I can't even really remember what he said, but he was just begging me not to tell anyone what happened. He then moved away from me, grabbed the woman, and pushed her back into the motel room. I collected myself and ran to my family's room, where my mom was relaxing and just watching TV. I explained to her what happened, and she stormed out of the room to confront them.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
My memory is extremely fuzzy at this point. I was just terrified from the events. The cops were called by someone, and I remember looking out of the window of my motel room and seeing the woman in the back seat of a cop car now pulling away. For the last time, our eyes met, causing her to frantically ram herself against the window, screaming. Even though I couldn't hear what she said, I know she was trying to tell me again that she knew me. I don't know what her problem was, but she definitely had a few screws loose.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin.
CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first laser center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
They're down 21 with just over 6 minutes remaining.
This is the moment, baby! This is the moment we separate the dogs from the boys. And if you ask me, I only got one question. Do you got that dog in you? Because it's never about the winners or the losers, but it is about the difference between those brave enough to put some action on the game and those who just want to watch from the sidelines eating off-brand pizza rolls. So sit down, lock in those picks, and trust that dog in you. Underdog. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.